Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The State House began releasing part of its budget this week, with a full chamber expected to vote on the spending plan before next weekend. House leaders have promised their budget will not include many of the controversial policy provisions stuffed into the Senate budget. The Senate plan slashed taxes on the wealthy and corporations and made education cuts in Democratic districts. Here to talk about the Senate budget and to react to the Supreme Court ruling on redistricting is Senator Terry Van Dyne from Buncombe County. Well, Senator, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
It's an honor.
Let's jump right in. There's a lot to talk about. I guess I'll first start by getting your reaction to the Supreme Court's decision this week to affirm what a lot of folks thought, that the original congressional districts were illegal.
Well, obviously, we feel vindicated. Our districts are a huge problem in that they are unrepresentative of the people of our state. And we're very hopeful that we will get an order for relief, particularly with our legislative districts, very soon so that we can start moving forward. We have been passing legislation for years now with representatives that have been unconstitutionally elected, and we need to correct that problem as soon as possible.
A lot of folks have been talking for years about, in the long run, we need to change this whole process by which we draw these districts.
Well, I've been an advocate for nonpartisan redistricting, even when the Democrats had control. And I think what people need to understand is that with big data and with supercomputing, the process of partisan districting has just gotten too precise. And it allows politicians to surgically choose their voters. And that's just not democratic. And we need to relook at this. And I think, you know, there was the Wisconsin case that argued that those districts were too politically efficient. And I am hoping that a similar case will get heard in North Carolina. Maybe even the Supreme Court will take a look at that and say, you know, enough is enough. We are undermining the democratic process with our ability to so specifically allow incumbents to choose the people who will reelect them.
I want to move to the Senate budget, which there's a lot to talk about there in the few minutes we have together. But I guess I'll start by asking what you made of the 3 a.m. sort of surprise amendment by the majority party to literally take money away from low-income schools and other things around North Carolina.
I, quite frankly, was devastated. If there has been a theme since I have been in the legislature, it has been retribution, and it gets worse every year. I think they made a huge mistake when they passed HB 2, and everyone in the state has been paying for that mistake, not just the mistake of HB 2, which was horrendous, but because of the backlash from our legislature to punish everyone else for that mistake. And I have never experienced that degree of disrespect for the system, disrespect for their colleagues, and then punishing constituents, punishing the people of North Carolina, particularly some of our poorest folks, because they got upset at us for standing up for the people who elected us. It was just a very sad day for North Carolina.
Yeah, it seemed that the only explanation was that they were mad that the Democrats were offering amendments to the budget, which seems to be your job.
It is totally our job. It is one of the few ways we can communicate to our constituents the fact that we hear from them what their needs are, and we're going to stand up for those needs. We may not be successful every time, but we hear them and we will fight for them. And we do that by standing up in the Senate and trying to express those needs publicly. And we had only, I think, put forward 5 amendments. That is not very significant when you're talking about a $22, $23 billion budget that we had no input into. That's really not a lot of time to ask them to give us. So I was quite shocked, but very grateful that got covered in the media and that people know what's going on. And I hope the outrage will cause the House to mitigate some of that damage.
What about what's in the budget itself other than that that sort of 3 a.m. amendments? You recently wrote that you had an opportunity to read a good budget, but you weren't talking about the Senate leaders.
That's right. The governor put forth a budget that had his strategy for improving our economy and creating more jobs included making North Carolina a top 10 educated state and doing that with investments from pre-K through community colleges. And when I talk to manufacturers, when I talk to business people, there is a huge need for training for those high-tech kind of well-paying jobs, particularly in manufacturing. But that kind of education can be expensive for a working-class family. And the governor had a program that would have paid the last dollar of tuition for any high school student that had the need, had good grades, and wanted to go to a community college to get that training. So these are investments that we need to make. I think people would be shocked to find out that there are waiting lists in North Carolina for children, for low-income children, for pre-K. I mean, you are only four once. That is an opportunity that we have to invest in these children that we are not taking advantage of because we're not funding it sufficiently. And what this budget did is it put corporate tax cuts and tax cuts that, let's face it, are enjoyed more by wealthy folks than working class folks. And it put those tax cuts ahead of fully funding preschool.
It's interesting also that the Senate leadership continues to talk about how much more they added to the state savings account. And we have, obviously, the federal government has denied our request for most of the hurricane relief funds for Hurricane Matthew. You mentioned some other needs. What do you make of the fact that we seem to continue to put money away, which I know is probably a good idea in many circumstances, but with hurricane relief and other needs still looming?
It's a question of balance. And I think we've lost perspective. It kind of goes back to your first question about districts. When you have people who don't have opposition when they run for election, I think they get disconnected from the needs even of their own districts, let alone the needs of the state. And so they are able to go to their ideological corners in spite of what's happening in North Carolina. Disaster relief is a perfect example.
And finally, before I let you go, Governor Cooper recently made a speech in Washington where he talked about that he's working on a plan to expand protections statewide for LGBT folks in North Carolina in the aftermath of the whole HB2 saga. I wondered what your thoughts were about what can we do to help protect our neighbors and our communities.
Well, it is very, very important that we make it very clear that the discrimination against the LGBTQ community is wrong and that it will not be tolerated in North Carolina. I look forward to hearing the governor's plan, and I will continue to fight to make sure that our LGBT community has the protections. I spoke with a wonderful group of people in Asheville this weekend, and the fact of the matter is people are still losing jobs because they are gay or because they are transgender, and I think that just sends a terrible message about who North Carolina is. That's not just bad for them, but it's bad for all of us, and certainly bad for business. We need to have an economy that works for everyone, and that means being inclusive. Bills like HB2 just send the wrong message about what North Carolina is about. We need to move past this. I look forward to working with the governor.
Well, Senator, thanks for all you're doing in Raleigh. We really appreciate you being with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your work. Bye.
Up next, what the healthcare debate in Washington could mean for people with mental illness. Stay tuned.